You've unmuted. Okay, we're going to get started again.
好，我们现在要开始上课，第二堂课。
Everybody should still be in fellowship.
相信大家在过这一小段时间里面还没有犯罪。
Okay. So in other words, it's just a reminder, if you have sinned during the break, then you need to name your sins.
就是提醒一下，如果你在刚刚这个休息十分钟的时候有不小心犯了什么罪的话，那请对神认罪。
Okay. Now what we're going to do today is do a quick rundown on the slides that we've been showing you over the last couple of weeks, and then we need to get to 1 Corinthians 4:9.
好，我们先赶快把这两周在主要在讲的这一张图表做一个复习，然后我们就要继续谈的是哥林多前书四章九节重要的经节。
We did have a very quick look at that verse, but we didn't go into it deeply, and there's some things in there we need to understand.
我们之前其实讲过这个哥林多前书四章九节的经句，但是讲的不够仔细，所以我们今天还会再很详细的把它讲好。
Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the divine dynosphere, our last couple of lessons, I guess.
好，我们在前几次的课里面呢，有在谈到这个神的动力球。
Yeah. Now, when we come back with the new series, after we finish the angelic conflict, we'll go into this in more detail under the concept of spiritual dynamics.
因为我们在谈过了天使的征战之后呢，我们其实就进入了就属灵的动力学。这个主题，那这个主题底下就有了这个神的动力球的这个课程。
Yeah, because a proper study of that subject would have to spend a lot of time on each one of these gates as we go through.
而我们已经大概花两次时间把这八个步骤讲过。
And it would also include studying things like the 10 problem-solving devices.
而且呢，也跟这个之前我们所学过的十个解决问题的方法做了一些对照。
And Operation Z, which we've talked about before.
然后也提到过这个Z 行动。
And of course, those 40 absolutes you got at salvation, you need to really look at each one of those too.
还有呢，那40个神所给我们的礼物，就当我们变成一个基督徒的时候，神所给我们的40个礼物，这些都是我们相关的一些议题。
Yeah, so that's just to give you an idea of what would be in that study.
这就让大家了解我们现在正在学习什么。
Okay, but looking at the final stages of your spiritual growth in the divine dynosphere, you notice that we have things like providential preventative suffering and momentum testing and then evidence testing.
好，我们在这个神圣的这个动力球里面的最后四个步骤，我们经历过的三个阶段。那第一个阶段呢是
You're talking about this here? I can explain it quickly. Providential means from God.
这个第一个阶段是来自于神所准备的这个灾难。
You have the word providence. And providence, the root word is provide, but people name places, there's a lot of places in America that like towns called Providence, for example. They name their daughters Providence, and it means a gift from God, or something from God.
这个字呢本来 provide 这个就是所谓提供嘛，哈 ，providence 就是也是提供的名词，所以它其实是说由神所准备的预备性的这个灾难，就是代表说有一个阶段，我们所做到的这个人生的测试是神他预备好给我们的。
And so providential is the adjective of that.
Providential 就是 providence 就是提供供应。的一个形容词，所以这个就是一个被供应、被提供的预防性的一个灾难。
And see, we have the word preventative. See, God is providing the suffering to prevent. What's He preventing? He's preventing you from getting arrogant.
好，所以呢，神呢提供我们一些苦难，来预防我们不要变成一个比较傲慢的人。
Because by the time you get to step five, you're becoming more mature as a Christian.
所以呢，因为你到了第五个阶段的第五步的时候呢，你已经是一个比较成熟的一个基督徒了。
You know how to make good decisions.
你知道如何是所谓好的决定。
You've got control over your sin nature to a great extent. Maybe not perfectly, of course, but you've got a lot of control over your sin nature.
而且呢，你因此你已经比较知道要怎么样控制你自己的罪性。也许不是完美的，什么事情你都可以避免掉那个罪性跑出来，但是你已经大约知道你该怎么样去控制自己的罪性。
And you've got control over your emotions.
你也知道你要怎么样去控制你这个情绪。
So really what that would mean is that the suffering has now been eliminated from your life.
所以呢，你的这个所谓苦难已经越来越小了，从你的生活中。
Because you have to remember that most suffering in a person's life occurs from their own bad decisions.
因为我们要记得，我们大部分我们人生的苦难，大部分是来自于我们自己下错了决定。
But God still needs you to be absolutely obedient to Him, even in times of suffering, abnormal suffering, because He wants to prepare you for evidence testing.
但是呢，你要记得，就是说，即使你在受苦难中间，你还是必须要学习顺服，因为这些苦难是神为我们所预备的，要让我们可以成长。
And so that's why God will provide you specially designed tests to help you mature.
所以呢，神呢，他会帮我们做这些设计某些这种试炼，让我们可以变得更为成熟。
Okay, and then you know, once you get more, we say adept, or you get better at passing those kind of tests, they're going to become more and more intense.
所以呢，当你就是已经通过了某些测试啊。的时候你会发觉，哎，你的测验怎么越来越难，越来越不容易。
Now remember, testing doesn't necessarily have to mean there's obvious adversity.
我们要记得啊，就是很多的这个试炼啊，它不见得就一定是非常的
obvious, right?
这么的明显的苦难。
Yeah, and sometimes it can be some kind of a long-term test.
因为有一些测验哦，它其实是一个很长期的，在慢慢发生的。
But something that just sort of just sits below the surface, and a lot of people, I think, they suffer from stress and they don't even know it.
因为很多人他甚至在承受某些压力啊，或者是一些 stress, 就是压力哈，但是其实他自己都不知道。
Yeah, and a lot of testing can actually come from prosperity.
其实呢，很多的这个压迫或者是所谓的测试啊，是来自于你得到很多丰盛的。
And the prosperity test is provided by God, you know, where God will provide you everything you want. But the test there is, what is your focus now? Are you going to be focused on me, or are you going to be focused on these things?
而所谓的丰盛当然都是神给的，他让我们衣食无余。但是呢，它为什么是测试？是因为神要当我们得到丰盛的时候，还要看我们的专注力在哪？是专注在还不能不能在丰盛中专注于神
yeah, ？Ultimately, you're going to have to be tested through all kinds of circumstances, but the key issue is, are you going to be focused on God and are you going to obey Him to the point of death, really?
好，所以呢，在各种状况下呢，我们其实都在被测试，说我们是不是可以专注于神，而且可以顺服于神，甚至于死。
Yeah, and the objective obviously is to remain focused on God, not getting distracted by wealth, not getting distracted by good health or popularity.
所以呢，我们要专注于神，而不会被所谓的金钱财富，或者是非常的健康。或者是
popularity
非常受欢迎而分心了。
And then on the opposite extreme, you have what's called adversity. So, you know, some people get distracted by their adversity, maybe very bad health, poverty, and losing all their friends, for example. That's the opposite of what I just mentioned.
而有的时候呢，我们也会有苦难，就是我们可能会有丰盛，又有苦难。苦难的测试呢，则是让我们好像失去了所有的钱财，变得非常贫穷。或者是我们失去了所有的朋友，或者是非常失去了健康，这就跟刚才的那种丰盛的测试是完全相反的。
Okay, so you have these two totally opposites of kinds of testing. One is testing of adversity, and then you have the opposite of that is prosperity.
所以我们要记得的是，我们生命中的属灵的测试。是可能经由苦难来测试我们，也可能是经由丰盛来测试我们。
And most people say, "Well, give me the prosperity testing. I think I can handle that."
然后很多人说啊，神啊，给我们丰盛的测试吧，我相信我一定会搞定的，我一定会通过的。
But yeah, that's not up for you to decide. It's up for God to decide.
但这不是你可以决定的，这是神来决定要给你哪一种测试。
And you do notice that the great believers in Scripture, we talk about people like Abraham and Moses and David and Daniel, we do see examples in their lives where they had extreme prosperity, really, and then times of great adversity as well.
你就看看这个圣经里面的这些伟大的信徒啊，不管是亚伯拉罕、大卫啊，或者是但以理等等这些人，他们的生命中都曾经有非常丰盛，也有非常苦难的这个高山低谷。
Okay, but through that testing, it's supposed to be then designed by God to propel you, to keep you moving through spiritual growth. And that's why you have momentum testing as well. See, this is all part of momentum testing. It means you're being pushed forward.
好，所以呢，经由这些各种测验之外呢，它还会，神还会提供一种叫做动力测试，是让你能够继续向前。
Yeah, and then ultimately, once you get to spiritual maturity, at the point you can't grow any further, that's when God could say, you are now ready for the evidence testing. I present you on the stage.
而当你经由这个动力测试之后，你就终于达到了所谓的属灵的成熟。哦，那这个时候就是第八步的时候呢，你就进入了可以为神做见证的这个测试。
Okay. Just to sort of review what we just talked about, we can look at this chart as well. This might help you to understand what's involved.
好，刚才的那个图，这个球状图讲完之后，我们就来看这张图。这张图可以让我们更清楚的了解。
Now, this graph here is called five categories of Christian suffering. Now, these categories can be subdivided again.
好，这边呢，是在谈的是五个阶层的基督徒的苦难。
For example, when you do suffer for whatever reason, we can divide it into like health, suffering of health or financial suffering or suffering in society, I guess. There's all different kinds of suffering, really. There can be different categories, but here these are sort of like the five stages of suffering, I guess.
好，这边所谈的，当然我们的苦难的方式有非常多种的，是有可能是财务上的、健康上的、关系上的哈。但是我们现在谈的不是那种五个类型，而是谈的是五个阶段。
And so the first sort of main category you have is punitive. Remember, punitive means discipline. It means like you're being punished.
好，第一种呢，我们是称之为惩罚性的这种苦难。那这个基本上是等于是我们是被管教了。
Yeah, but you have to remember when we say punished for a Christian, it doesn't mean he's being punished for sins, because all of our sins were punished on the cross.
我们要先记得哈，这个因为耶稣基督为我们在十架上受了所有的罪，所以我们在被处罚不是因着我们的罪。
He took the punishment for your sins, so why would God punish you for your sins?
因为如果耶稣基督已经在十字架承担了我们的所有罪，而且受罚了，那我们当然不可能再因为我们的罪而受罚。
So really you have to look at all of this as what we call discipline. It's for teaching. It's to correct you and guide you back into the correct path of righteousness.
所以我们的受罚都不是因为我们犯的罪，而是因为神要让我们能够更成熟。
But that's divided into two categories. You have self-induced misery. That's just misery you bring upon yourself, and God does not have to do any of the work.
好，所以第一种惩罚性的这种苦难呢，是来自于自己引发出来的这种灾难。
And then there's divine discipline as well, which is where God has said, well, okay, you need some extra discipline here to help you out, so God will discipline you as well.
第二个呢，是神呢，他要来管教你，来帮助你能够更做属灵的成熟。
I saw an interesting video clip the other day from one of the New Zealand newspapers, the online newspapers, but they had a video clip in it.
在前两天呢 ，Tim 在看一个纽西兰的一个影片，是最近发生的一些新闻。
It showed a mother walking across the road with her two children.
那个影片里面看到的是一个母亲带着两个孩子在过马路。
Now the mother was also at fault because they weren't actually crossing at the zebra crossing. It looked like there was a zebra crossing not far away actually. But she was bringing the children across the street where they shouldn't have been crossing. So the mother had a big part of the blame.
好，这个状况是呢，这个妈妈带着两个小孩呢，没有走斑马线，然后却走在没有斑马线的路上。其实旁边不多远就有斑马线。
And there was traffic coming and going.
然后呢，那个来来往往的车子。
But the mother saw a gap in the traffic, and so she sort of quickly came across with the first daughter.
所以那个妈妈呢，就带着她的一个女儿，很快的就过了街。
And it looked like, you know, there was no sound on the clip, but it looked like she'd been saying to the second daughter, "Come on, we've got to go now."
哦，然后虽然这个影片呢没有听到声音啊，但是可以看到，就是好像她妈妈带着第一个女儿过去之后，就叫第二个女儿赶快过来。
And so the second daughter followed, but she was quite a long way behind, and she was on one of these scooters. Yeah, well, where you push your feet, you sort of stand up and you scoot like that. What do you call that?
Scooter.
好，那另外那个女儿呢，在后面的那个离前面的是有一段距离啊。不过她是，而且她是在用那个滑板车在往前走。
She got across the first lane okay, and then when she got to the second lane, she actually got hit by a car.
然后呢，在这过程中呢，他就等于是穿过了第一个阶段的时候，到第二阶段的过马路的时候，就被一台车给撞了。
And the car had been slowing down, but the car couldn't stop in time, and the girl bounced off this car.
所以呢，他就被这个车子，虽然看到他的时候已经来不及了，所以这个小女孩就被撞倒。
But she was okay. She got up and she picked up her scooter and then she scooted back onto the road to where her mum was. So she was fine. It was quite a miracle actually.
然后呢，奇异的是这位女孩子呢，她被撞倒了之后呢，哎，好像没事，她又起来，好，又骑上她的这个滑板车，又继续过完马路，跑到她妈妈旁边。
So you could call that self-induced misery. You know, the girl should learn her lesson. For one thing, she probably shouldn't have listened to her mum, and she should have crossed up later on the road. But if she'd gone when her mum said, let's go, she would have been okay. This is what we call self-induced misery. She brought this upon herself.
The mother.
Well, wait, I haven't finished the story yet.
然后呢，所以这个呢，基本上这个小女生她应该是叫做她自己造成的这个灾难哈，这就是她被撞的这件事。当然运气很好，她好像没出太大的问题。
See, most children, if they go out and they play on the road, for example, and they get hit by a car, then you know, that's their punishment. The parents shouldn't have to discipline them.
就是一般如果小孩子或者我们大人我们自己在不该过马路的状况下过了马路被车撞这个是我们自己造成的一个灾难好所以我们其实自己都应该要检讨
But we see in the video as well you know, once the girl gets up and she brings the scooter to the side and the mum comes up and the mum hits her on the butt
Why?
Good question but that was like mum thought well I better spank my child because she got hit by a car
然后最奇怪的是，那个小女生到了她妈旁边的时候呢，那妈妈就还打了她屁股一下。
I think there's a lot of people probably commenting that's not fair and the mother was wrong.
那很多人呢，当然就在那个影片下面说，这不公平啊，这个妈妈是妈妈错啊。
Because of the mother's discipline, now it's all over the news. That's her discipline as well, because everybody knows about her and knows what a bad mother she is.
然后，但是呢，这个妈妈呢，显然也被管教了。为什么？因为全世界全纽西兰人都在讨论她这个妈妈做的不对。
But actually, it was quite a miracle that the girl was okay, because really, she got hit by the car very hard, and then by her mum quite hard as well, I guess.
然后这个当然是一个奇迹啦，因为这个小女生就被这个车子撞得还不轻哦，就居然没事。然后过了马路还被她妈妈又很用力的打了一下。
I should see if I can find the video clip. It's quite dramatic, actually.
这个影片那个听他把它找出来分享给我们看一下好了，因为实在是非常戏剧化的一个影片。
Okay. Anyway, so that's what we call discipline. You know, punitive discipline, making bad decisions or being disciplined by, usually by God, of course. And we're talking about Christians here, so that's punitive suffering.
好，所以呢，这种处罚性的这种苦难，基本上呢，都是神允许的，或者是神他就是要这样做的，或者但是不管怎么样，有我们自己造成的，也有神他提供的这种苦难。
Now we can call that deserved suffering. You deserve to suffer because you've been stupid and arrogant.
That's the first one.
Yep. the first two. If God is, we're saying you deserve to get this. If you make a bad decision, you deserve to suffer from that. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame God. That's what you had coming to you. You have to look at divine discipline is directly from God to us. But sometimes God will use other people to discipline.
Okay. So if the child didn't do the homework and then the teacher punished the child, is the divine discipline?
Yeah, but also that child
And also it's a self-induced misery.
Yeah, well, the self-induced misery will come later when she fails her test, for example, or can't get a good job. Sometimes the consequences are very long-term.
Okay. 那个我们刚刚在讲说哈，就是比如说有一个小孩他没做功课，然后呢他的这个后来呢就是考试成绩很烂，甚至他没法毕业等等的，这种都称之为就是在所谓惩罚性的苦难中的第一个是他自己造成的。然后呢如果他没做功课，然后他的老师呢处罚他，因为老师是神所设计的这个系统里面他的权柄，好，或者是妈妈处罚他，好，妈妈父母亲也是权柄，那这个部分呢就是属于这个惩罚性的里面的第二个，就是神所给的这个管教。
The interesting thing about self-induced misery is often you don't even realize the consequences. You're suffering, but you don't know why.
比较有趣的事情呢是这个所谓的自己造成的苦难呢，是我们有的时候在承受一些自己造成的苦难，可是你其实没发现是你自己造成的。
And you just mentioned one example. Like if you have a kid that does not do their homework, you know, they think, oh wow, it's good. I can cheat on my homework, or my parents, you know, they don't know that I'm not doing my homework. But they're going to get bad grades. They're not going to get into good universities or whatever. And they're going to grow up not getting a good salary. They could even grow up being very poor. And it's all because they didn't study hard at school.
哦、所以呢我举个例来讲，这个没有好好做作业的小孩，也许他开始的时候觉得好过瘾，他可以这个乱做作业或者是作弊或等等的这些都不好好读书的状态，他要到后来才发现说诶他的成绩变得很差，然后甚至呢没有办法上好的大学，然后甚至因为没有去了好的大学也没有办法得到好的工作，那也没有办法得到好的这个薪水，所以这一连串的这些苦难都是因为他小时候没有好好读书，所以但是他也许到了大的时候他却忘记了是他自己小时候造成的，所以我们在所谓的自己造成的这种苦难常常是一个一连串的后果，可是我们却已经忘了当初的原因。
Now you might get some people when they get older and they realize that their work is not going very well and they can't get a good job and they might regret that. They might say to themselves, well, I wish I'd studied harder at school.
有些人呢他会理解到说诶那是他当年为什么没有在学校的时候好好读用功读书。
But that would have to be an objective person. See, most people would just say, well, the economy is really bad and we can blame the government or, you know, we'll blame the world economy or something like that.
所以这种能够还有自觉的人呢、啊、他还会清楚是怎么样造成的。但是大部分的人呢他反而是会怪说啊是经济不好啦啊等等的，是把这些问题都怪在别人身上。
I'll give you another example. Coming up to World War II, a lot of the parents and the families were very pacifist. Pacifist meant they didn't want war.
听要再举一个例子，就是在二次世界大战的时候呢，其实很多的家庭他们都不太希望进入战争的状态。
A lot of people had seen the horrors of World War I and they said, we don't want to do that again, so we'll just remain pacifist.
因为大家都还记得那时候一次世界大战的这种整个的恐怖的景象，所以大家都是有一点是就是非常非常排斥战争的。
And some of the military people, they might have been saying, you know, we need to vote for a bigger military expenditure. We need to be ready if war breaks out again.
但有一些军队会说、哎、我们其实应该要准备更多的资源，万一战争再来了怎么办？
But then people say, oh no, we don't want that. You know, and they'd vote for like Franklin Roosevelt, for example, who is more of a pacifist, type of a man, and said, if war breaks out, we won't go to war.
而但是呢却大部分的民众呢全部都去投那个比较反战的这种政治家，所以才会罗斯福才会当选美国总统。
Now the consequences of not preparing a war are very severe, especially when war does break out.
所以呢在当时呢美国的状况呢是非常的反战的，所以他们完全没有准备好第二次世界大战又会出现，所以他们在当时是在一个完全没有准备战争的状态。
The only way that you can beat violence, meaning if your enemy is violent against you, the only way you're going to beat him is with greater violence.
要知道就是有任何的这种暴力要相向的时候，你只有准备更大的暴力才能够把它给阻止。
And yeah, that's just the principle of war. If you're going to defeat your enemy, you need to be stronger than them.
这就是所谓战争的原则。你要能够打败你的敌人，就是你必须要比敌人更强大。
Now, some people might just say, "We'll be pacifists, and then if war breaks out, we'll just pray to God, and then you know, God will sort them out."
有些人就说啊，我们是要当反战者哈。这如果真的战争来了，我们就是跟神祷告，神会帮我们打赢仗。
Now God might do that, and then God will use great violence from God to sort out the enemy. And some times in history, but very rare cases, He has done that.
而神或许会这样做，但是当他这样做的时候，他是让对方，就是你的敌人哈，有很大的战场上的失败。但是从历史上来看，神会出手状况是比较少的。
But we've seen many times in history where God does honor a great military person or a great military campaign to give victory to people over their enemies. If they're a righteous army or they have a righteous cause, God will give them the victory, but He'll use the military to give them a victory.
而在历史上呢，看起来呢，神其实是真正会给那个所谓站在正义那一方的，而且有很好的军队的。让他们胜利成功。
We saw that in recent history with Israel, when you have the Yom Kippur War, that was I think 1973, and you had the Six-Day War, when Israel, as you know, a very small army, but very well prepared, and they were able to beat all of the Arab nations around them on two major occasions.
就像以色列在1973年的六日战争，好，他虽然以色列国家很小，但是他们有非常非常精良，而且是准备的非常好的一个军队，所以在六日战争的时候呢，他们就打胜仗，而且是打败所有的那个阿拉伯的这个环绕在他四周的这个国家。
But they were very well prepared, and then God honored the Jews as He does. He protects the Jews.
所以呢，神呢，他是给那些准备的好的，而且是站在正义那一方的犹太人，大大的得胜。
Now coming up to World War II, you know, Hitler had built up a huge army and then the Japanese as well, and they were building up very strong military force. But America was, they were just singing and dancing and try to enjoy their wealth after coming out of the Depression.
而在二次世界大战的时候呢，这个纳粹呢，德国纳粹呢，以及日本他们呢，都是准备了非常强大的军力，哦，要准备侵占世界。但是呢，美国呢却经过一次世界大战之后，他们终于从这个 depression 从萧条中起来哈。那他们天天都在享受他们富裕的生活，完全没有准备他们要进入战争。
People wanted to forget about the First World War. They wanted to forget about the depression and just enjoy their lives.
因为在美国的人呢，就想要忘记一次世界大战的恐怖，想要忘记萧条的生活，所以他们都在过富裕的生活。
And so they just didn't want to promote the military.
所以他们完全不想要推进他们整个军队的实力。
So when war broke out, first in Germany and then in Japan, they just weren't ready for it.
所以当这个二次世界大战爆发的时候，不管是针对德国的这个大军或者日本的这个攻击，他们都完全美国是没有准备的。
When they had to start training, when they first realized they had to go into war, they didn't have tanks. So they were training their men in the desert. They had these army jeeps. And instead of like the big turrets, they would have broomsticks. They would use broomsticks as a turret tank. So they didn't have the real vehicles, right? So just using these little cars in the desert, and they had a broomstick to act like a turret. And that was their training.
然后呢，他们当时呢连坦克车都没有，所以他们当要进入那个二次世界大战的时候，他们是拿着那个吉普车， 然后拿着什么奇怪的什么
a broomstick
他们拿着扫把来参加打仗
That was for their practice you know,
是为了他们的训练、啊、因为他们训练都还没有枪嘛所以是拿着他们的扫把在假装当枪 在练习
When they did get the tanks, it was basically,、oh, here's your tank, okay, you get in the tank, we'll send you over to Germany, now you've got to fight. They didn't have the proper training for it.
所以呢最后的那个坦克车做出来了他们把他们国家把他们送到这个跟德军打仗的时候这些人根本就不会用这些军事武器。
As we know, ultimately America had victory.
当然了最终美国是得到了胜利但是这真的是花了很长的时间因为他们完全没有准备好。
And many young men died as a consequence.
他的后果也是就是很多的年轻人就因此死在战场上。
One of the problems for the Navy, and the submarines especially, they built these torpedoes. Now, torpedoes are the underwater missiles.There's one occasion where a submarine fired a torpedo or a group of torpedoes at the enemy ship and the torpedoes came around and sunk the submarine.
然后呢对于那个海军那个潜艇来讲更惨他们美国的这些潜艇、哦、有那个鱼雷啊打出去之后还居然打回到他自己 的那个潜水艇上。
And they think actually that had been happening quite a lot, but it was just on this one particular submarine, somebody was able to get a message out. They got a radio message out. Our torpedoes are turning around and we're going to get hurt.
这个状况还常常发生而且呢甚至有他们那个军队 海军有截取到就是有一架潜水艇在他们的那个无线电里面告诉他们的海军的总司令说哦，我们的鱼雷打出去了我们的鱼雷又要回来打到我们自己
So they don't know how many men they lost because of these torpedoes which weren't properly tested
所以呢这些鱼雷呢都不知道杀害了多少他们美军自己的人因为就是因为这些鱼雷在做的过程中它的测试不足等等的很多问题
And they found out after the war, the Germans, even in some of the torpedoes, they could see the American torpedoes coming to the ships. And the torpedo would hit against the side of the ship and it wouldn't go off. It wouldn't explode. The Germans said, oh, they hit our ship, but nothing happened.
然后呢也有发生就是他们的那个鱼雷美国的潜艇打出去的鱼雷就打到了那个德国的潜艇身上却没有爆炸。所以他们德国人就在那个无线电里面讲说哦美国人的鱼雷来咯诶打到我们没爆炸。
If the submarines had been more effective, the war could have been a lot shorter and a lot less American soldiers would be dead.
所以在当时如果那些潜水艇的战士啊比较合理就他们的器材各方面都是好都是准备的恰当的话这一场二次世界大战应该会更短的时间内就会结束。
A lot of mothers and fathers, they lost their sons because of their own bad decision not to increase the military spending before the war.
所以呢这些年轻的战士很早就在这战场上死掉的这些美国人他们的父母其实是在尝到了他们自己当年反战的后果。
Yeah, they were saying, we don't want to vote for a president who's going to take us into war or organize the military. We want a pacifist president.
因为那个时候他们呢都选择了反战的总统。
And again, yeah, they had to suffer. Now, I doubt those parents would blame themselves for their son's death.
然后呢他们最终呢孩子死了。可是我们相信那些战死的孩子们的父母他们绝对不会想到他们应该要对他们过去所下的决定而觉得负责。
But every bad decision is going to have some kind of a suffering built into the consequences.
所以呢所有的错误的决定总是会带着一些苦难的后果而来。
And a lot of those consequences you won't even recognize, you don't understand why it's happening, but it's because you made a bad decision.
而这些所谓的后果，苦难的后果，却你常常没有办法看清楚是你当初下了错误的决定。
Okay, now it's time to take another 10-minute break, so we'll come back at about quarter past four.
Quarter.
Yeah, 4:15.
好，4:15我们再回来，我们休息一下。